This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking about some of the challenges facing working mothers during the pandemic. If you have questions or comments for us today, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call us at 866-476-3881. We just need your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment, and we'll do our best to get it into the conversation. Again, 866-476-3881, or you can send us a high-quality voice message with our smartphone app called All In Vox Pop. It is free to download and easy to use, and you can find it wherever you get apps. Just search for All In Vox Pop. We're joined now by three guests. Haley Boer is the Director of Education and Advocacy at Women for Change Indiana. Haley, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And hello to Tia Washam, leader with Grassroots Maternal and Child Health and a recovery coach at Transitions Academy. Tia, welcome to you. And Sadaf Carey is a senior project manager at Roche and a mother of four. Welcome, Sadaf.
Thank you.
Haley, well, Women for Change is a grassroots civic organization. What work has the group done specifically for working mothers in Indiana?
Of course. Women for Change has been advocating for issues like reasonable pregnancy accommodations, paid family leave, and reasonable childcare options. All of these issues have been brought to the forefront thanks to the pandemic. We advocate for these issues in the State House, and then we encourage Hoosiers to engage with their elected officials by providing them with the information and tools to do so.
And how has the work that you've done changed because of the pandemic, either the work that you're doing for women or the way that you do the work that you do?
Yeah, like most organizations, we've had to adapt and pivot a lot because of the pandemic. And we thought we'd best serve folks by being a resource for those looking for help. We've created a video series called Engaging Ideas, which touches on relevant topics during these quite unique times. These short videos are from leading experts on topics like mental health, e-learning, managing finances, and even substance abuse. And these can all be found on our Facebook and our website as well.
And can you give me some examples of some of the kinds of things that we might hear on some of those videos that maybe wouldn't be top of mind for someone who's paying attention?
Yeah. In addition to, we just have some uplifting poems and things that are read as well, because this is such a stressful time for mothers and working women especially. So it's a couple different options for them to either get resources that they might need, but also to kind of just take a breather and focus in on their mental health. We have a psychiatric nurse who provides some tips and tricks on just kind of how to navigate these waters and really put an emphasis on self as well, since we know these mothers are often, you know, putting themselves to the wayside and focusing on the health and well-being of their families.
I keep hearing mental health. What do you and you know, we can look at data and we can look at all of that. But from your position, what sorts of mental health issues are cropping up the most among working women with children, would you say?
Yeah, I just say the stress and anxiety for everyone is quite high right now, especially when we were under more of the lockdown situation. But for mothers especially, they're also dealing with the stress and anxiety of their children who aren't in school or possibly doing e-learning or on very different schedules and not seeing their friends the same. So I think it's just magnified with women and mothers and those taking care of children, because they also have the stress and anxiety of others that they're worrying about as well.
Tia Washam, what kinds of work have you been doing with Grassroots Maternal and Child Health and Transitions Academy for that matter?
I'm sorry, I'm just now muting, but what we do is go out in the community, and we go to communities that are at high risk, that is affected with HIV and AIDS, as well as addiction, go out and just give information if they need any type of information to get the help, especially with what's going on now, and mothers, it's really at risk. A lot is at risk today, and you know that we all know, and especially mothers trying to make decisions of either, you know, paying, you know, the bills or getting their food for their children to eat. So what we do is try to make it for services and bring services to them so they can get the things they need to help their families. And also where I work with too is with mothers that are in addictions, You know, right now they have so much money for the women that is in opioids. But what about that baby that will be born that might be addicted to crack, to meth, or alcohol? You know, we don't want any child to be addicted to anything, but they need these types of services to help them. And some of them are afraid to come to be because of whatever reasons at that moment. But that's what I do. I just try to help and give back.
So where that's concerned, are you saying that there are stipulations, I guess, in the help that is available with regard to addiction that only focuses on perhaps the mother and not maybe the newborn child? Or is it an embarrassment issue mostly, which is kind of what I think you might have been hinting at?
Well, it could have been. It's probably both because, number one, they need to have the proper health care. And, you know, majority of them do not have health care or the access to getting to health care or doctors to help them to have a healthy pregnancy. So what I've seen is because of it needs to be some type of policy change. If you don't have good insurance, then they're not giving you a lot of information to help you and your family, which that's, you know, we have neighbors also in our community that can help these people. But, you know, I always tell people, put yourself in their shoes just one moment. Can you just do that for one moment and tell me, what do you feel at that time? You know, so I'm just saying, it's just like we need to come together as a community and help our fellow neighbors.
And how have you seen the pandemic affect the mothers that you work with?
The ones that were, I've seen them living in cars because they have lost their job. I mean, it's just affecting everybody, the pay wage of, you know, where our community is at this moment. You know, I've just seen them, you know, just in a disarrayed state, you know, and we try everything we do to try to help, you know, compromise them to get the things that they need. But if you're looking at a mother that she is just a mother and her children, and she has a low paying job, and she has to make these kind of desperate choices, you know, and that's also bringing in a lot, and maybe I shouldn't be saying it, but payday loans too, they'll go to payday loans and try to continue to help their families with these kind of resource of needs that they need, you know, which are our daily life needs. So, you know, I just think as a community, we just need to come together and see what we can do to help.
As long as you want us to be put in the shoes of some of these women who are making these choices, can you illustrate the level of desperation some of them have gone to make ends meet? Where does it get darker?
I guess when you don't have any place to go.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we look at some of these shelters, too, that they'd be full. You know, we don't, you know, life on life terms happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens. So I wish that we can have something put in play when they have shelters that are full, or they have to separate the family, which that can't be done either. You know, a certain age limit, I think, that, you know, that they can't come into shelter because of their ages. So I don't know. I just feel like we just need to change some of the policies and procedures on the way we go about helping people, you know.
We'll get some examples of that perhaps later on in the hour. I want to move on to Sadafka. You're a senior project manager at Roche and a mother of four. Can you talk a little bit about your family?
Sure. So I have three boys, and my third child is a girl. And so I live with my spouse. I'm working from home now, and my husband works out of the home. He's a healthcare worker. So, and so that's my family right now. This, you know, it's just the pick and drops and the day-to-day that we're dealing with. They're definitely different from what we were, you know, what it was the normal.
I know what a handful two children are. I have two, but four, I can hardly imagine. Let's look at a normal day for you before the pandemic. What did it look like?
Right. It was just, waking up super early, making sure, you know, the kids were ready to getting ready for school and, you know, making those lunches, getting them ready for school and getting them out the door and then heading off to work myself, you know, and, then after that, when from after work, I'd come home, have to, you know, think about dinner, homework, the extracurricular activities that the kids had, whether it be swim lessons or soccer practice. But, you know, just all these other things that the kid, you know, kids have to go and shuffle, basically becoming a driver and going back and forth to all these activities that they're involved in.
So then when the pandemic first started, what was it like? How hard was it for you to make that transition? And I'm sure that the transition evolved over time, too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, it was like a screeching halt, you know, being at work and then being told, you know, we're going to have you guys sent home. You know, I honestly didn't think we'd be home right now. Like, I thought it was like, you know, for a week or whatever. I don't know if I was in the right mindset or thinking long term. So, you know, I'm sure people left, you know, food in their locker or whatever. You know, I know I did, and I hope it's been removed. But, you know, I still have things that are there at work, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, it was like a screeching halt and completely, like, I think, just emotionally, you know, and mentally and physically, like, just hard for everyone, you know, regardless of who you are.
I'm curious about the routine that you've fallen into since the onset of the pandemic, but we'll have to wait until we come back. We will be back after a quick break. We're talking about working mothers in Indiana during the COVID-19 pandemic. And if you have questions or comments for the show, especially if you yourself are a working mother, we would love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881, 866 646-3881. I'm Matt Pelser. Back in 90 seconds, this is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. We're talking today about working mothers during the pandemic and what they're doing to continue supporting their families. And again, we would love your input, especially if you yourself are a working mother or work closely with a working mother and know a few things. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from. You can do that at 866-476-3881, 866-476-3881, or with a high-quality audio message sent through our free smartphone app, All In Vox Pop. Get it wherever you get apps. Just search All In Vox Pop, VOXPOP. And we have with us Haley Boer, Director of Education and Advocacy at Women for Change Indiana, Tia Washam, leader with Grassroots Maternal and Child Health and a recovery coach at Transitions Academy, and Sadaf Carey, Senior Project Manager at Roche and a mother of four. And just before the break, we were talking to Sadaf about what life looked like before the pandemic with her four children and her professional life, and then once the pandemic started. And so now, Sadaf, I want to look at how your routine has, what your routine looks like now that the pandemic has, you know, now that we've been here for months. How has it changed? What does a day look like? Just illustrate it for us if you can.
Sure. So, you know, every day is different. You know, my two middle school students go to school every other day, and the other days they go virtually. My elementary schools are in all day. And so that was the difficult decision for us that we had to make as well. Like, do we put them in 100% in school? So, you know, we're just managing through that. You know, I chose not to use the buses just because that's another exposure that the kids could have and potential reason for quarantining. So, you know, I'm picking up the kids, dropping them off. You know, the school is pretty close by, so it doesn't take very long. But many times I take those meetings on the phone or in the car on the phone. So, you know, that's one part. You know, there's a lot of mask washing every week. I gripe about it to my friends, you know, having to wash those masks and make sure they have them. Many times in the morning, you know, I'm not always a perfect mom. We might not have a mask and we might have to use a disposable one. So, I mean, it's okay. But, you know, after I pick them up all from school, you know, I have to get back to work and making sure that, you know, managing them when they get back from school, they obviously are hungry and I might have a call or a meeting and, you know, they're just scrambling and, you know, running around. So it's a lot of kind of telling them to be quiet, closing the door or running to somewhere that I can have some peace and quiet. And then obviously there's a lot of, you know, we used to be involved in a lot of activities. Those have, you know, we've stopped that, scaled back on a lot of those after school activities. So the kids are home a lot so that the burden falls on me to make sure that they're engaged. They're still getting that social, growth opportunities that they would normally get going to soccer practice or swim lessons or just seeing their friends. And then, you know, going from work after that, getting started with dinner and making sure they're doing their homework. It's just one thing after the other after the other. And I think a lot of mothers can relate to that. It's just nonstop.
Haley Boer, how many women are in the workforce in Indiana right now?
I don't know the exact number of how many women are in the workforce currently, but I can tell you that 65% of Indiana's women are the breadwinners in their family. I can tell you that 4 in 10 Hoosier women have experienced a loss of employment income in their households since March. And the national data suggests that Black women and Latinx women have been hit even harder.
Have there been any changes in the number of women in the workforce since the beginning of the pandemic? How has that evolved since this all started?
Yeah, there has. That's 4 in 10 women have experienced the loss of income. Women who reduce their hours or leave the workforce, whether it be temporarily or permanently, are losing wages, benefits, and advancement opportunities. Past recessions, which affected men's employment more severely than women's, has reduced the gender pay gap, but we're seeing that this recession could widen the gap again, which could erase progress for women. And economists are now calling this a she-cession because the coronavirus pandemic is unlike any modern recession as the greatest losses of jobs are amongst women. And many of these jobs are jobs that cannot be remote. They're in the service industry or the healthcare industry. And so they're not home. And in addition to be able to, you know, losing their jobs and whatnot and like possibly having to work from home, they're also the ones that are most likely taking care of the little ones and doing e-learning, like Sadif had said previously.
So 65% of families have a female breadwinner. What proportion of that do we know? And we can ballpark it. What proportion of that is single mothers?
I would assume that that is a pretty large percentage of that. I'm really bad at ballparking numbers, so I don't want to.
It's data, so it's solid. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to hit a foul ball, but. But I would assume that that's a pretty large number, and maybe Tia could comment on that a little bit later as well.
Tia, so the mothers that you work with, we've illustrated some of the challenges that that they're facing. You can go into some more of that, but generally speaking, how are the mothers you work with doing right now?
Well, some of them are, you know, just trying to, you know, live day to day, like. I think some of the other women on the panel say it's a challenge each and every day. So they are just taking one day at a time. Like I said, we just try to give them services that can help them, the things that they need at the moment. But, you know, talking about the examples of some of the things these women go through, these women are living on the street. They're living on the street. Mm. So they're making desperate choices just to make ends meet. Some could be even towards prostitution, you know, or stealing, you know. It could be, you know, you could just imagine. Just imagine if you was there in their position, what would you do?
Sadaf, you're currently working from home. what are some of the pros and cons of working from home as a mother?
So, you know, obviously what Tia is saying, you know, I understand that it's very difficult. I can't even imagine. It's a difficult thing to, you know, wrap your brain around. Things that I've found nice for me to be able to provide that stability for my kids during these uncertain times. It's really important for that. I mean, they don't understand. They're also going through these anxieties as well as us, but, you know, being able to be home, have a home, and, you know, provide that sense of security and comfort is really important. And just having the logistical ability to be at home when my kids have a different alternate schedule, and also have the ability, if they have to quarantine at some time, I will be home and I can still be able to work. So that's definitely a positive for me.
I am curious about that. I mean, Roche is a pharmaceutical company. You say your husband's in the healthcare field, and so you're both well aware of the seriousness of this pandemic. But your children are in school, and that has to also be a concern of yours. Are you concerned about what they're bringing home?
So Roche is a diagnostic company, but yeah.
Diagnostic company. My apologies.
No, that's totally fine. I worry about that every single day. When we were all at home, my husband did go into work, and I would joke about it. I'm like, you know, you're the weakest link right now. And so, you know, we have some immunocompromised family members, you know, chemo patient, that my mother-in-law is a chemo patient. We need to see her, you know, just to be close to her as well. But, you know, we're always very safe around her. We keep distance and we keep our masks on. But I worry about that every single day. I think every parent, every mother thinks about that every single day as to like what my child could potentially be exposed to or what they could be bringing home. Could, you know, that thought crosses my mind every single day.
And as this has gone on, I am sure that you have found a few things, resources, techniques that you have used to make things easier for yourself. Care to name any of them or list?
Yeah, of course. So first and foremost, I think it's so important to be able to look at the resources you have. You know, you look around you, you have a group of friends. Like for me, I have my close friends, you know, we call ourselves a mommy group, and we are able to lean on each other when, you know, it's just a difficult day. Like I had one earlier this week and I needed to just vent it out to my friends, and, you know, they're able to provide that support and comfort for me. We also at work, they just started these parenting circles, which are an amazing resource. And I think a lot of employers should think about this. It's just a safe environment, offering resources and just a way of like coming together as a community, even within work, and being able to talk about, you know, the issues that you may be facing, and, you know, just a good way to be able to provide connections in a safe environment.
And on the subject of resources, Haley, are there any available for mothers if they're struggling with work or family or health? What would you want to point people to?
Yeah. So if you're looking for childcare in particular, Brighter Futures Indiana is a resource to help find childcare. And you can find their website. It's just brighterfuturesindiana.org. But also the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration is providing assistance through the Child Care and Development Fund, which receives some federal funding, and you can apply for assistance at their website as well, which is in.gov/FSSA. And you can find that information there. Also on our website, we have a tab that will link you to Mental Health Resources of America. And then those videos that I mentioned earlier, if you're looking to hear words of wisdom from the Indiana State Superintendent or others in the fields that I mentioned previously.
Which one of those ones of those do you think is the most underutilized or the least known about that you think is particularly helpful for people?
That's a good question. I still think that mental health is a big focus. Those that need help for childcare and whatnot, there's more tangible resources, I think, sometimes. And I think that a lot of times mental health is being put on the back burner during all of this, especially for working mothers and children. So I would say take a look at those. Look into mental health resources as much as you can. There's places that are doing free counseling, but also like worksheet pages on things that you can do just for self-care. And so take a look at that video on our website and see if it might help.
Tia, what are the resources Grassroots Maternal and Child Health or Transitions Academy providing for mothers in Indiana specifically?
Well, they're providing, you have to go on our website and all the information will be there. I can't remember all those across my mind right now, but if you go on our website, everything will be there that you need to get the services that you need.
But surely there are a few that would be top of mind that you could share, maybe a few that are common among the people that you serve.
Okay, well, there's one, Indiana Institute for Working Families is one, as well as Women in Motions. That's another one that can help. And those are only two I know right off of my mind at the moment.
Set off, what's been... I guess it's hard, I guess, to quantify this sort of thing. But has anything been particularly difficult, maybe perhaps the most difficult as far as balancing work, family and health during this pandemic? What would you point to as something that just comes up all the time that is directly pandemic related that is really, 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 really tough?
I think it's just managing our own emotional and mental state at this point. You know, we want to say a new normal, but then part of me wants to say that's not right. This is not normal what we're going through. So, you know, one of the hardest things is to making sure that I'm checking in with myself. You know, am I like okay emotionally? Am I okay mentally? You know, a lot of days you can't do it all. And so, yeah, I have to give myself grace and just be okay with that. You know, as long as my kids are healthy and they're safe right now, I think that's good. And that's something I need to make sure that I'm checking in with myself on a day to day. And, you know, there are resources that also provide that and, you know, ways to do that. But that's one of the things I think is so important for people to be able to do that. Basically, like what Haley had mentioned, you know, making sure that we are checking in with our mental state and making sure we're, you know, healthy as well.
Well, and along those lines, what have you been doing to decompress?
That's a great question. You know, so I try to go outside and walk or run or bike. You know, I know with the cold weather, it's a concern. But, you know, during our parenting circle today, someone just said, you know, we're going to go out in the cold. It's okay. You know, a lot of times there are some apps that also allow for mental like meditation for just a few minutes. I think that's also important too. You know, breathing and practicing yoga or something help people to just kind of escape or just center yourself for a few minutes, center your energy and being able to be the best you can be. I've always thought that if I am not centered myself and calm, then I won't be the best mom I can be. So, you know, I need to take care of myself to be, you know, be the best mom for my kids.
Something like meditation might sound like it's outside of the scope of some people's lives. And some people might put a term like that up on a pedestal and think, well, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that before. Yeah. But can it be done, I guess, simply and without this sort of context, I guess, that people elevate it to?
Oh, my gosh. I was one of those people. Trust me. I was like, this is, you know, I don't believe in this. I'm not one of those people. But it's as easy as taking a timeout. You know, we give our kids timeouts. And I think it's okay for a parent or a mom or a dad to take a timeout and just, you know, walk outside, sit there and just be quiet. You know, you just be silent and just let your brain just be numb for a few minutes, because that helps, you know, and it's not very hard. You don't have to sit there with, you know, chimes in the background or whatever. You know, you just can sit there quiet and still. And it's important to do that once a day or twice a day, whenever you need it. You know, and I was one of those skeptical people too, but I think it's important to for that us to be taking care of ourselves too.
Tia, have you recommended anything like that to some of the people who you serve, just these simple centering down stress relievers?
Yes, I have. And I practice them myself. I think meditation is very good, to just meditate and or taking a walk, you know, doing something, some self-help care for yourself. And I agree with all the other panelists talked about the mental illness part or the mental aspect of it. You know, when you think about it, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. So you're going to need something that's going to have to take you out just for a moment so you can just breathe.
So. We're talking about working mothers during the pandemic and ongoing efforts to get them more support. If you have questions or comments for us today, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881, 866-476-3881. We would love to hear your voice in the conversation today, especially if you are a working mother. How have you dealt with this pandemic? I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Back now to our discussion on how mothers are balancing work and family life during the pandemic. We would love your questions and comments for the conversation today. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can just leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881, 866-476-3881. We would love to hear your voice in the conversation, especially if you yourself are a working mother. We would just like to hear what daily life has been like in these last several months since the onset of the pandemic. How has your life changed? What is your family dynamic like now? We have three guests: Haley Boer, Director of Education and Advocacy at Women for Change in Indiana; Tia Washam is a leader with Grassroots Maternal and Child Health and a recovery coach at Transitions Academy; and Sadaf Carey is a Senior Project Manager at Roche and a mother of four. I want to start with this listener voicemail from Esther, who has a comment on workplace discrimination laws. Let's listen.
Hello, this is Esther from Hope, and I believe that we need to enact some laws to protect mothers at their jobs, because if your employer finds out that you're a single parent, a lot of times they use it against you, or if you say you can work such certain hours and they decide to schedule you something that you can't work, they can use that to fire you. There need to be laws to protect the single parent worker so they can't be discriminated against. Thank you.
Haley Boer, how often do we see cases like that?
Hi. I believe we see those pretty frequently. I know that there are some things in place to help avoid that, but unfortunately, I think some things slip under the cracks, and then they have to be litigated, and that's extremely unfortunate. I think if more people knew their rights and it was more easily available to find those resources, I think we'd see a lot less of that. And unfortunately, I think it's a lot of the good employers and good companies take it very seriously, and then there are some that don't. And it sounds like that Esther's talking about those employers that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but it's a very serious issue.
So there are protections in place, but oftentimes that takes hiring a lawyer, which a number of working people just can't afford to do, and much less they may not have the time to do so. But when it comes to strengthening those protections that are there, what could we do? What else? How much further could we take those protections? What might they look like if we were to do so?
Yeah. Well, first, Hoosier women 100% need to be protected in the workplace. We've been working on laws to provide the long-awaited economic justice for women. One example of this is through pregnancy accommodations. There is a bill last year. It should be kind of on the block again that would provide reasonable accommodations to to pregnant women. And this could just be taking more frequent bathroom breaks, carrying a water bottle with them, being provided a chair to sit from time to time. And it's just reasonable accommodations. And now, granted, most employers are doing this already, but there are some that are not. And we heard testimony from women who had lost pregnancies and whatnot because of things like constant infections from not drinking enough water, and their employer wasn't letting them drink enough water on the job that they needed and wasn't allowing them to take restroom breaks like they would. I mean, granted, most employers, they're doing this already, but women need protections like this in place. I mean, I don't think it's very hard to think about, and it's reasonable. So if these employers think that it's a burden to them, then they don't have to do it. But allowing somebody to take more water or to give them a seat, I don't think that's unreasonable.
And the legislation that you're talking about was championed by Governor Holcomb and, in fact, mentioned in last year's State of the State address, or I guess it was this year's State of the State address. But it kind of became mired in discussion in the 2020 session of the Indiana General Assembly. How hopeful are you that we'll get somewhere with this in the coming session?
I'm extremely hopeful. And I think because of the pandemic, it's brought a lot of these issues to the forefront. And we're taking, you know, the disappointment that we felt on a lot of our issues and using it as momentum for this session. And I mean, it takes persistence. We hope that with the number of women being elected federally into Congress, and more women picking up seats in the state too, we remain hopeful that we can pass legislation this session. And we hope that this has really shined a light on those issues that weren't getting the attention they deserved previously.
I think that anyone might argue that the pandemic will not yield an overall positive when we look back. Although we can take positive things from it, it sounds like. Do you think that we're learning a lot right now?
I think so. I think we're learning a lot in every single aspect. But for us, too, like we're learning how to like reorganize and whatnot. We're learning how to engage people in this new virtual world and how to mobilize them to become champions for these issues in the state house, although we likely won't be able to mobilize within the state house this year. We're just very hopeful that, you know, that there will be great outcomes from, you know, such the tragedy of this pandemic.
Sadaf, what about changes that you would like to see as a working mother? Is there anything that you can think of that could be done, I guess, on the legislative level that might help?
I would say, you know, I do agree with Haley there, and I do agree with our previous person that had called in about making sure, you know, there are laws that protect women and mothers in the workforce. I fortunately work for a great company, and, you know, I am very, you know, grateful for what they have instilled in the company about protecting women and, you know, the initiatives that they take. So, you know, but I believe that, you know, we do need to be protected as Hoosier mothers and Hoosier women. And hopefully, you know, the policies and the advocacy that we see from Women for Change and other organizations like that, you know, we're here to support them in a lot of their initiatives and a lot of their policies that they will push forward.
Do you feel like you've gotten enough support as a working mother? It's easy, I'm sure, to say no to that question because everyone wants more. Everyone wants more help, of course, and we'll take it. We'll take all the help you can get. But the way things are right now, do you think it's sufficient?
Well, in my personal life, I believe that I do have the support that I need with my family, with my friends. Also professionally, I believe, you know, they have provided support and understanding. I think through this pandemic, a lot of organizations have become more empathetic and understanding to, you know, just that human, they've understanding more of the humanistic factor, you know, being able to work from home. A lot of times our kids are popping.
I think we might have lost Sadaf
on the virtual Zoom calls. And, you know, I have a son who likes to.
That sounds like Sadaf might be in and out.
Sorry.
Oh,
no,
sorry about that.
it's quite all right. No, I think we might just be having some connection issues.
Yeah.
Tia, I want you to weigh in on this. Things that we might be able to get going on the state level, and you can even comment on the legislation that Governor Holcomb championed with regard to pregnant mothers and the things that he liked to see, wanted to see go through, but didn't happen this year.
Yes, that's unfortunate too. I agree with all the women that have spoken about it. It should be something in place to protect, mothers that are working, because mothers are the majority of the breadwinners in the working force, So hopefully we can come back and bring it back, and some things of other, policies could be put in place that can be more helpful with women that is pregnant and have children, that's just trying to take care of their children and family.
Do you see anything realistic as far as financial support coming from the state government, or something that could be proposed that would have a realistic chance of getting through? Is there anything, I guess, on your mind that the state legislature, when the Indiana General Assembly comes together again in 2021, it is a budget year. Is there something that you'd like for them to look at?
Yeah, I would. I would think that maybe they can, this is just something off of my head, but a boost fund from when times like this that happens, that they can have, finances that help them with situation they're pregnant and or, have to do bed rest, that, some pregnant women do have to do that because, of the pregnancy. So if they can have some, not that they have to stay on it, but just for the time to kind of get them over, if that would be possible, to help them so they won't have to be stressing out with their babies or their baby, to seeing how it ends is going to meet.
Haley, how realistic do you think something like that would be? I think that that's an interesting idea, a boost fund. But given that we're in a particularly fiscal conservative state, is it realistic that something like that might get some attention?
I think it's very realistic that it could get attention. I know childcare has been on a lot of legislators and people's and Hoosiers' minds for a while now. And I think just because it's a budget year doesn't necessarily mean that it's off the table. And I think we could see strides in that regard this session.
What about childcare support, Sadaf? Is there anything that you think that the state could be doing where that's concerned? What did the summer look like for you, I guess, when your children were off school and you were still working?
It was really an interesting summer. Normally, I get someone to watch or babysit while I'm at work, but they were basically on their own, and it was tough. And so yeah, I mimic that. I mean, I definitely think it would be great for Indiana to be able to provide some type of childcare support or childcare ability for women that are, single or don't have other options available to them. I think that is definitely needed, and we should be asking for that and, lobbying for it in other ways. But for my summer, it's just the older ones have to take care of the younger ones, and we're just going to make it through. Either it's, you increase your screen time, or you play outside and you stay outside. Yeah, so that's our summer for us.
Haley, childcare, I'm sure, is something that is it, among every nearly every conversation that is had with your organization, and it is a big balance. It's a lot of money. I know that now, having become a parent a few years ago. It's in a lot of cases like a second mortgage. What are some of the ideas that are being discussed, I guess, to help not just mothers, but parents with childcare?
Right now, there's some federal funding that is available that was to try to help during this pandemic. As far as the session goes, I know that there could be a bill or two that could pull funding from other places. I'm not exactly sure where that's going to go or where we're at with that. But but funds are needed from the state, and the federal funds that are available, I think, will be exhausted and will continue to be exhausted. So it's time that our elected officials really focus on this. And I don't think that's necessarily been done in the past. But now's the time, and hopefully the momentum of people reaching out on behalf of like desperation due to not having childcare will be the motivation that legislators need to take it seriously.
Let's get a little more radical, Haley. When it comes to, I mean, you mentioned this statistic earlier that 65% of Indiana households have a female breadwinner. Yet when you look at earnings, their earnings are often lower among women than they are among men. Would something like pushing for greater earnings for women be something that's worth having a conversation about? I know that that would be a difficult thing to put into practice policy wise, but how often have those kinds of conversations come up?
Yeah. So those conversations are definitely happening. Women's economic stability is something that we've always championed from our inception. But yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the women that are losing jobs now are in the service industry or are in the healthcare industry. And some of those jobs aren't the most highest paying jobs, being in the service industry and whatnot. So if we look from the bottom up and look at the wages that those families are making, I mean, a lot of the times it's not livable wages. So there's a lot of conversation to be had there. Unfortunately, in our state, sometimes those conversations take a lot longer to happen and come to fruition. But again, hoping that if there's a shining light or light at the end of the tunnel from this pandemic, it's that those conversations happen sooner than later, and that, you know, that they're fruitful.
Tia, how often are you able to steer women from a certain industry that may not pay very well into another that pays a little bit better? And what does that often look like? So like if they're in the service industry, is there any consultation that you can give them? So here you have this job, but what you could do with your skill set is this job. And I'm sure that that varies from person to person, but that's just kind of what's on my mind right now.
Well, that does happen. I guess it does, you know, with skill building and where you at with your skills in the workforce. But unfortunately, I've not had any opportunities to tell somebody to leave one job to go to another. But I always tell them, you know, whatever you need to do to enhance yourself and empower yourself, you know, please do so. And I just try to do that just to empower women to look in theirself and see what they can do different.
Got about 30 seconds left, Sadaf. I'd like some advice. What advice would you give to other mothers who are in a similar situation right now?
I would say allow yourself grace. First of all, I think, you know, making sure that you're okay, and then it's okay to not be perfect. And then also, you know, you look out and, you know, ensure empathy for everybody. We're all going through this, and I think we all can empathize with each other. And we provide those support networks and checking in with all our loved ones and our friends. And even outside of that, you know, connecting with those coworkers, just checking in on one another. I think that's really important, especially right now.
Sadaf Carey is a senior project manager at Roche and a mother of four. Thanks for being a part of this conversation today.
Thank you so much.
Tia Washam's a leader with Grassroots Maternal and Child Health and a recovery coach at Transitions Academy. Good insight today, Tia. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Haley Boer is the director of education and advocacy at Women for Change Indiana. Haley, thanks for your work and your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Micah Yason. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Adam Gross is our engineer and composed our theme. Our podcast can be found wherever you get podcasts. Tomorrow is the Friday Pitch-In. We'll catch up on the biggest Indiana news stories of the past week. In the meantime, we're on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.